Morning. I'm really looking forward to giving this word today. It's been an amazing time in preparation for it for me. You know, I've probably never restarted a sermon more times in my life, because as I've been studying and reading and listening to sermons and on topics, and God's been revealing more and more to me, I felt like I've either had to add it or change it. And so I just really hope that this morning I can articulate just really what God's put in me, because he's really put a lot in, and I just want to filter out what is not relevant and what is really for the church this morning, because he really has given me a word and a revelation which has been really eye-opening, literally, for me in the spiritual sense. And I've called it Life with the Spirit, and following the series of God's best for our life, isn't that what we've been? And when I've asked that question over and over, God, what is your best? What is your best for our life? I found that I'm unable to define it, because with God, there's always more. Yeah. So I can't say something which is underlined, and that's God's best. Mm-hmm. Because once, you know, if you have that, there's always more to God. There's a never-ending God's best. Mm-hmm. And so we need to be living in that and always expecting more and wanting more. Not because, like what Mike was saying, because we deserve it. But because that's what God's got for us, because that's who he is. So I just want to pray this morning. And I just want to pray, that was already been prayed this morning, the Holy Spirit, we need God's presence. And we need God's Spirit more and more and more than we realize. You know, we can do nothing without you, Holy Spirit. And I just pray this morning that you just break in to this meeting, wreck my talk. Oh God, just break in and have your way, and just pray you speak to people's hearts, speak to people's minds. I pray that we just do some warfare this morning, and just our eyes are open to what you are doing already, what you want to do, and what the enemy is trying to do. Oh God, and we just want to move into your best for our lives. Jesus. So what is God's best for us? Do you need this to dry up already? As I'm preparing, there's all sorts of scriptures I could go to, and did go to. I know, man, I probably had about 30 different scriptures, because God's given us so many promises. He's given us so much to hold on to. Promises like, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly, have it in its fullest. You know, so should I go with that one? And then there's Jeremiah 29, verse 11. We know that one, don't we? Dave could say that one. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. We like to quote this one. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Yeah. There's loads of scriptures we could go to. Things like that promises God's best for us, gives us hope and a future, and it's brilliant. But does anyone know what comes next? Does anyone memorize the next bit? And for me, that's dead important, because we like to take these promises and we take what God's got for us and we hold on to that little bit of scripture. But what comes next? It says, then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. We want all God's promises and all God's best for him, but we don't want to seek him with all of our hearts sometimes. We don't want to give him everything that we've got. Loads of different scriptures. Galatians, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. For freedom that Christ has set us free. He's not set us free for a life of slavery and bondage and trouble and turmoil. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Yeah. I could go on. I've listed a few. Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And these are true. I'm not knocking these scriptures. These are true. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. These are God's promises for our lives. Yeah. Yet sometimes we can read those scriptures and look at our lives and almost with a sigh say, is this it, God? Is this all you've got for me? Is this all? Is this God's best for me? I see these scriptures, but do I see this panning out in my life? It doesn't always feel like God's best, does it? That's the problem. Sometimes we are looking at our feelings. What feels God's best? And so, look, there's so many reasons why this life doesn't feel like God's best. And God's just brought a few of those reasons that I want to bring up this morning for us to be able to then step into what is God's best for us. And the main reason, and this is where I'll probably spend most of my time, is that we do not live and see the world through spiritual eyes. Yeah. See everything from a spiritual perspective. That I see this church and my work and my life and the governments and the world through a spiritual perspective and not a worldly, earthly, fleshly perspective. It needs to come from a heavenly perspective and not an earthly perspective. Another reason we don't live in God's best is because we don't understand really who we are. We talk about, a lot about identity. Jane did a brilliant job the other week and about labels. Brilliant talk. But we still don't understand where we are and where we come from and who God has made us into and really move from that place. And also, we don't live in God's best sometimes because there's so many voices in the world. There's our own voices. There's all your voices, you know. And there's the demonic voices and there's God voices. And we need to be tuned into the right voice. Yeah. And listening to the right voice. And how do we do that? And sometimes we don't live in God's best because we're not willing to let go of some of the things that we hold on to. Because sometimes we feel they give us security, or sometimes we feel we need to hold on to those things because we identify with them. And we need to let go of some things for God to really move and give his best into our life, whether that's material things or other things. Another one is we continue to remain in our sin. There's no repentance. A repentance is a turning around and walking away from and going to war with the things that are holding us back. It's not okay to just live in God's grace and continue with the life that you're continuing to live without repentance and turning away. It's called growth. And we need an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We need revival to come, and it will not come without the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we need to long for it and want it and pray for it. And go for it. It's not saying we can't do anything because God's Spirit lives in us, but we really need to, just this room to be ruined with the Holy Spirit and that to flood out into our towns. So these are some of the issues that I want to address, whether we get through all them, I don't know. But I'm going to do some spiritual warfare today. And it's exciting. And we need to do this every day. And when we talk about spiritual warfare and demonic forces, it's not something to be scared of. I'll tell you why. But firstly, we really need to open our eyes. We need our eyes opened, like Elijah prays for his servant. Open the eyes. Yeah. Open his eyes, Lord, so he may see. Lord God, open our eyes to see the reality of the spiritual realms that are going on in this world. It's not ISIS that we're at war with. It's the evil that's behind it. Yeah. It's not just evil people. It's the evil that has entered them, that is causing them to do such horrific things. It's the evil in the world that we need to pray against. Mm-hmm. Open our eyes, Lord, to see what the devil is doing. Mm-hmm. And what you are doing and what you want to do and what your will is. Yeah. We know that we're in a battle, don't we? Yeah. Do we know that we are in a battle? Because sometimes we say it and we know it, but we don't know it and we don't see it all day, every day. We need to be reminded constantly of this. How many times have we read Ephesians 6, verse 10, about putting the armor of God on? If we didn't have to put armor on, you know, would we be in a battle? We need to be putting that armor on. Because we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, do we? The wrestle is not with flesh and blood. See everything in that sense. It's not you I wrestle with if we've had a falling out. It's what the devil's trying to do within that. And how God wants it to be. It's spiritual battle. I'm going to read some of that. Ephesians. To just put a point on what the spiritual forces that are work. Turn to it. Ephesians 6 verse 10. We know it. Many of us can quote a lot of it. But I don't want to draw unnecessary attention to the devil and demons, but it's a reality and we need to be aware of what's going on so we can do war against it. Because if we walk around with our spiritual eyes shut, we're in trouble, man. And he'll just wreak havoc within us. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And that's a point that really God has sort of brought some revelation to me. These things in the heavenly places, who knows that God and evil are not in the same place? There's no evil where Jesus is. No. Yeah, so what's this? Jesus is above in the heaven, but there is a spiritual realm of evil and darkness in a heaven, okay? And that is there, and this is the earth, and this is where the demonic forces are, and Jesus is here. And we need to recognize that we are not here, but we are here above these evil and spiritual forces that are here. Okay, and we need to start seeing things not from an earthly perspective, okay, and looking up to Jesus, but actually we are looking through a heavenly perspective and looking down, okay, because that's where Jesus is, that's where we are, and I'll explain that more in a minute. And this is where the evil and dark forces are ruling over the world. This is what's going on in the world. Look around, it's obvious. If you can't see it, we need our spiritual eyes opened. And that's from the big things, governments, that's to the small things in church and in work and in your life and in your circumstances. So we need to recognize where we are so we can have authority and rule over those things. Because the enemy wants us to think that we are down here. There is no evil in heaven. Our battle is not against people. It's not even against our situations or even, it's not even against our sin. Against the evil, the schemes of the devil, against the rulers, the authorities, the cosmic powers of this present darkness and spiritual forces of evil. And we need to understand this not just theologically, like philosophically, like fantasy, like reality. This is as real as I am stood here and you were sat there, that this is real. Yeah? And we need to wake up to it. It is absolutely real. It's not just talk. Because I feel if we don't open our eyes to it, we'll never really be able to live in God's best and live in the abundance of freedom that the gift of the Spirit talks about, of joy and peace and love. It'll always hold us back. Life by the Spirit that the Spirit promises. And when trials come and temptations come, and when those voices speak, where are they coming from? When thoughts pop in, when feelings come, all we'll see is things from a world view and not from a heavenly view. And whether it's demonic forces at work or God's hand. So let me talk about where we are sat in our thrones in a heavenly place. We must understand who we are. We need to live as kingdom people. That's who we are, kingdom people. God's best for us is a kingdom life, not a worldly life. We are God's ambassadors. We are citizens of heaven. When you get citizenship with someone, you're not from somewhere. You're not from somewhere anymore, are you? That is where you belong. That is where you're from. And we have been made citizens of heaven. Thank you, Lord. That is who we are. Yeah. That can't change. We've been made alive. So where we were dead in our sins, we were dead in our trespasses, we were like the living dead, we were like zombies, we've been made alive, brought to life, yeah? Those things are dead, the old man is dead, the flesh is dead, we've crucified it, yeah? We were baptized and raised to life, yeah? Alive in Christ, we're alive. And that's the truth. And it's not. That's not a symbolic act. That is a spiritual act. You know, breaking the bread and wine, that's it. We do this in remembrance of me. It's a symbolic act. There's nothing magic or whatever in the bread and the wine. It's remembrance. But the baptism, when we came up a new man, woman. New, yeah, alive in Christ. That's who we are. Free. It's for freedom that Christ freed us. Set us free. Covered by God's grace and full of his Spirit. Let me read some more scripture to you because it's amazing. Don't you love God's word? I love God's word. And I've just been soaking in it. You know, it's good. You know, I soak in it anyway. But when you come to preach, you just saturate yourself, don't you? I don't have any time for Sarah. I'm just like, me and God, and that's it. Sorry, babe. So I want to read Ephesians 2, 4 and 6. I'm going to read a few scriptures. You can flick through them or write them down and read them yourself. Seriously, I took so many scriptures out this talk. I'm going to time how long I am. If I go on too long, stop me because I've got a lot to say. Okay. Poor kids' church. They'll be going mental. Anyway, Ephesians 2, 4 to 6. But God, being rich in mercy. You know, I could just stop there. I'm not going to because it's not really what I want to say out of this scripture. But God, being rich in mercy. This is who our God is. Just because of the great love with which he loved us, not because we deserved it, just because of who he is. Even when we were dead, yeah. It's going to be a common theme this, when we were dead in our trespasses, in our sins, he made us alive together with Christ. Yeah. By grace, you've been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is not in the future. This is past tense. This is now. And he raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places. Where is Jesus? He's seated at the right hand of God. Where are we? We are seated with Jesus. Okay, you need to understand that is where we are. We have a throne. We have a place at the banquet, and it's ours, and that's where we move from. You know, the Queen is seated on her throne, isn't she? She's seated on the throne of England, but when she's going round hospitals, she's still seated on the throne. She's just not on it at that moment, but she's still the ruler of the throne. You get the idea? We are seated on that throne, and that is where we move from. Yeah? So we need to understand our position. So when we move through our life, we are positioned from a place of authority in heaven. Okay? Seated at the right hand of Jesus, full of God's Spirit. That is who we are. That is where we are. We need to get that. Seated in heavenly places. The devil wants to dethrone us. That's what he wants to do. He can't. But he wants us to think that we are under him. And he is the deceiver. He is the father of all lies. Yeah. Okay, and the problem with deception, it's deceiving, and you don't know that you're being deceived. So we need to bring light. We need to bring God's light and open our spiritual eyes. And I want to rip open the blinds and knock open the walls and let God's light shine into every corner of our lives to show us where the enemy's got in and spoken lies to us, distruths, lies. Yeah. So we can recognize who we are and move in that freedom. He tried to dethrone Jesus, and he failed at that one. Jesus said, I saw him fall like lightning from heaven. And that's what he should do when he comes up against us. But if he can make us live and feel like we've got a life below him and what it is actually we're entitled to, then he will. Kingdom people should live in victory. It is finished. Jesus said, sin and death is conquered. It's done. We should live in authority. God has given us a spirit of love and power and a sound mind. Yeah. This is where the battle is. This is what we need to recognize. It's here where the battle is, in this. We should be the most positive people on this planet. Yeah. But the enemy wants to bring a spirit of negativity.
Right.
Yeah, what's all going to go wrong? And there is I just felt like when I was preparing this, there's a spirit of negativity over some people in here, yeah? And we need to cast it out easy. Yeah, but in Jesus' name. The truth will set you free. This is the truth. And it is freedom. It is life-giving. It's like, you know, when we became a Christian, the shackles fell off and the prison door opened. But some are still sat in the prison. And it's free, it's open. For freedom, Christ has set us free. But the devil wants to keep us in that prison cell. We need to walk out. We need the spirit. We need the gift of discernment. We need to be able to discern between spirits. It's pretty easy, obvious to see what's good and what's evil, but we need to see exactly what's going on spiritually and what, and to be able to discern between what this spirit is and pray against it and pray it out. We need the spirit of discernment, guys. It's so important for this church. So we need to walk in God's spirit. Galatians 5. Let me read some more scripture. It's amazing. Galatians 5:16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You need to recognize, right, when as I go on, that the battle is not really with the flesh, it's with the spirit and the mind. Because as you read on, you'll see that the flesh has been crucified with Christ. Yeah, it's done. The old self is gone. It's been buried. The battle now is not even with our sin. Yeah, the battle is with the enemy. He wants to tempt us into sin. Yeah, but if we walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other. So that you do not do whatever you want. We do not just do whatever we want. I think that's something is key for me, key for us, is discipline. Yeah, it's not okay to just do whatever you feel like because it feels good. And doesn't have to necessarily be bad in itself, as in black and white, that's sin. We just don't do whatever we want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under this law. Skip on to verse 24. I could just read the whole of Galatians. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Do we belong to Christ Jesus? Yeah. We have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. It's crucified. It's dead. Since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. Now, if we are living a Spirit-filled life, keeping in step with the Spirit, we will not have to possess passions and desires to do what is evil, what the flesh desires. If we're living in that, those things will not attract us. They will not be what we want to do. We want to live and walk and stay in step with the Spirit. But the devil will want to tempt us. Yeah. Keep in step with the Spirit. Wherever he goes, I go. Reminds me of a little thing we got in work called You Go, I Go. I'm a personal trainer. Sometimes we get people together into teams. And we do a little workout. I might give you a set of exercises to do, amount of repetitions. And you do it as a team or in a pair, usually. And one goes, they do as many or as much as they want to do. And then the other one goes and you do it together. And you work together. You work as a team to achieve that goal. It's you go, I go, you go. And you push each other. And you challenge each other. And that's a bit like I've seen it with God. You know, we've got a part to play. We've got our role to play. And it's you go, I go in that sense. We're doing it with God. We're doing it not on our own. Not by ourselves, but it's a team effort. God gives us everything we need to do what he's called us to do. He gives us all the tools and the equipment we need. We just need to pick it up and do it. Yeah. I feel like that. I feel like, you know, we're in a war. We're in a spiritual war. But some of us just are not fighting. You know, like I picture people just curled up in the trenches, you know, with their weapons next to them and all the fighting's going on around them. And it's easier to sit down and curl up in a ball and just pretend it's not going on. Then actually pick up your weapons of warfare that God's given you, which is your helmet of salvation, your breastplate of righteousness, and your belt of truth, and the gospel of peace, and your shield of faith, and your word of the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. I haven't got time to read Romans 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. But you need to read it. I've just been blown away by reading it over and over again. You know, and I just had to cut it all out because I just haven't got time to go into it all. But it just took to read it. Yeah. You'd be here a while. But how do we sum it all up? That the flesh is dead. In 47 times, Paul mentions death, dead, you know, gone, done. 47 times in those few chapters. That it is dead. Your old man is dead. We're going to read some in a minute and I'll show you. The battle is spiritual and it's in your mind. So So I ask you then, where is your mind and where are your thoughts? Are we taking our thoughts captive? Are we really thinking about what we're thinking about? That's a Joyce Meyer, that one, isn't it? Yeah. Stinking thinking. Come to me now. But what's demonic there? We need to be discerning. Ephesians 4, 22 and 24. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. We need to be made new, excuse me. We need to be made new in the attitude of our minds. Our minds need to be renewed completely. I think we could cast a demon off you. Yeah. But if unless you renew your mind, it'll come back. Yeah, you need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Yeah? Our minds need to be changed. Our eyes need to be opened spiritually to see what's going on. To see what's going on. Put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Put it on. Romans 12, verse 1. We all know that. What's that one, Dave? Without turning to it. Go on. Therefore, be completely, I haven't written it down, but completely, I was hoping you'd know. Be completely transformed by the renewing of your mind. We are transformed by the renewing of our minds. I helped Dave. Yeah. Where's Tom when you need him? I was hoping Tom would be here. Oh, we need our minds renewed and we need to be transformed. And the Holy Spirit needs to bring us revelation. Yeah. Romans 8. Let us read loads of Romans. Because it's good, isn't it? It is, you know. The Bible's good. And this chapter is amazing. I'll read until I feel it's enough. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Paul's been talking about the battle of, you know, I do what I don't want to do, and I don't do what I want to do, blah, blah, blah. But praise be to God. He finishes Romans 7 with, There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free. The law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us. It's amazing when you get your head around what has just been said. It's amazing. The law has been that we were under is gone because Jesus defeated it. Who walk not according to the flesh, but walk according to the Spirit, that's us. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, which is us, set their minds. Quick. The things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life. And peace, for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, that's us, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Does the Spirit of God dwell in you? Yeah. Well, that applies to us then. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. We are alive. Sin is dead. Let's get it in. I've just got to read the rest because it's amazing. If the Spirit of him who raises Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Thank you, Jesus. Let's read this up to 17. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die again. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your body, put them to death, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons and daughters, who we cry, Abba, Daddy, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Yeah. And if children, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, that's who we are, that's where we're sat, that's our position. Amen. Provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified in him. We are our kingdom people. Hallelujah. We need to keep in step with the Spirit. We need to keep in his word on our minds. We need to memorize his word. We need to soak in his word. I love his word. Even when I don't understand what I've just read, I love it. Because it does me good, even though I read it and think, what did I just read? I come away and I think, I don't even know what that meant. You know, but I know it's done me good. And I'm not surprised anymore that God actually reveals it to me some other point. There's life in the word. It's God's living word. It's the word for today. It wasn't written just thousands of years ago. It's life-breathing, life-giving word today. We need to pray. His prayer life needs to, who needs to start praying? I'm praising God all day, every day. I have worship music on all the time, wherever I go, always on my phone. You know, Spotify, so worth every penny. I just have worship on all the time, don't I, on my phone? Probably annoying. You know, the devil and demons are waiting for their opportunity to get in and whisper some lies to you that this is not who you are and what you where you belong, and this isn't all God's got for you, and this isn't his best for your life. And he watches. He watches, and he watches for your weaknesses. This isn't to scare you. This is to open our eyes. The enemy prowls around like a roaring lion waiting to devour his prey. The devil whispers. And he whispered to Jesus in the wilderness, didn't he? When Jesus was at his weakest. Jesus was probably near on death's door when he was fasting for 40 days without food and water. He would be. And the devil comes to whisper in his ear. And Jesus resisted by speaking God's word. And what does it say? The enemy left him and waited for his opportunity. And his opportunity was Judas. Satan entered Judas. That's how we got to Jesus. That's what he thought. And he's done that from the beginning of time. He whispered to Adam and Eve when they found themselves in the wrong place at their weakest. And what were they doing there? Have you ever found yourself in the wrong place? It's an opportunity. He waits for his moment like he did for King David. One of the things, the bad things that we remember David did was adultery and murder. And when I read, it says one evening, I can't remember exactly, one evening David got up out of his bed. Even that sounds, why is he getting up at evening time? And I just imagine David one evening, mind wandering, you know. He's not in a battle. He wasn't at war. You know, he wasn't on guard. He's lying in his bed, mind loosely wandering. And he gets up out of his bed and he walks onto the rooftop. And what does he see? And then the flesh, the devil, tempts him. And then we know what happens after that. We need to be suited and booted on our guard all day, every day, ready. Yeah, the devil's waiting for his opportunity. You need to wake up all the time. But the good news is Luke 10:19. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Oh, God. Yeah. I just thank you for the position you've put us in. Amen. And that we sit on our thrones, and you've given us authority, and you've given us the power and everything we need to live our lives. And we can claim that, Lord Jesus. We claim it. And we pray against any spirits, any demonic forces that want to discourage us, that cause us to feel depressed and worried and anxious and fear, that give us restlessness, that cause us to not sleep at night, cause us sickness. Lord Jesus, those evil spirits that want to discourage us, to disillusion us, disappoint us through the circumstances of life, and we just cut them off in Jesus' name. God's got good things for you. And the best he's got is for you to live as a free citizen of heaven, a spirit-filled and a spirit-led life from your heavenly throne. How are we doing for time? A bit more. A bit more. Can you take a bit more? Because the second half of the talk, it's not second half, last quarter, okay, it's really, really important. I think it's maybe, you know, I don't want to end it there. Sit comfy. Is that's who we are, and that we are here on earth, and we need to be carriers of God's presence. And that's what I really want to emphasize, what it is to carry God's presence into where we go. We have God's Spirit in us. We've talked about this, but we can carry God's presence. It's different. God's Spirit can rest upon us. When Jesus got baptized, the Spirit, in the form of a dove, came down and hovered. I can imagine it like this. This is the same Spirit that hovered over the deep of the waters at the beginning of time. This is the same Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove. When I picture it, it's beautiful. And the dove comes down and rests upon Jesus. And God says, this is the Trinity together, isn't it? It's Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit. And God says, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. And the presence of the Holy Spirit never left Jesus for the rest of his life. And then he went into the wilderness, didn't he? That's interesting in itself. We'll go into that. I want to be the resting place. And we've had this word. I want to be a habitation of where the Spirit likes to rest, where God likes to sit. This church wants to be, is a place where God likes to sit and likes to rest. And his presence is here, and it's known for God's presence. But to carry God's presence, I need to be resting in God's presence. Remember Mark saying that. And I was right where I was up to at that point in my life of, God, I want to take you out there, but I don't call on God as an SOS prayer when I find myself in situations. I take him with me wherever I go. So he's there. So everything I see through my spiritual eyes, God's presence is with me. And this is something I'm learning and I'm experiencing and God's revealing to me. That when I am in God's presence and I take God's presence with me, all sorts of things start to happen. And God creates opportunities. People come to you, maybe with their problems, or just you find yourself in situations, and if you haven't got your spiritual eyes open, you won't see it for what it is. All sorts of things can happen, mate. You know, our light, the light that we carry, will convict people of their sin. Like Jesus, when he met Zacchaeus, Jesus didn't tell him to give away half of his possessions and pay everybody back four times. It's just because he was in the presence of God and he was convicted and he just gave it all away. And that's what will happen when we carry God's presence, and people will either see the darkness within them and they'll hate you for it and they won't even know what it is, or they'll be attracted to God and they'll want to know more and what it is that you've got. What have you got? Because there's something there and I want it. And I found that in my workplace that it's not me, although I am very attractive. But it's not me that they're attracted to. It's God's Spirit and God's presence. And they need wisdom and discernment with that. God showed me that a lot. I want to bring it into as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And in my family, in my house, with my friends, with my church, with my workplace, I'm going to take that presence with me. We'll whiz on. The disciples waited until the outpouring came, and then they were carriers of his presence. Doesn't it say, I didn't find the scripture, that people just wanted this shadow to fall on them so they could get healed? Yeah. Why was that? Because God's presence was with them. Yeah. That would be ace. And I've just taken that picture of the dove, God's presence resting on my shoulder. I listened to Bill Johnson talking about this, and it's been so helpful for me to when I rest in God's presence and the Holy Spirit comes to rest on me, that I take that presence with me where I go. And I want to live my life and conduct my thoughts, my actions, and the way I am, that God's presence will just stay there. Yeah, and it's really, really helpful for me when I approach someone and something comes up against me, say, I mean, that presence isn't just this little timid, weak dove. This is the presence of God. But I don't want to conduct myself and conform to the ways of this world and God's presence to almost leave me, although his spirit never leaves me or never leave me or forsake me. You know what I'm saying, don't you? I want to carry God's presence with me so I can be effective for God wherever I go and be aware of what's going on. And I believe how much we want this as a church is really the measure to which we will receive it. How much are we willing to lose? I'm nearly there now. How much are we willing to lose for what we can gain in God? I do have this recurring picture of myself and for us as this church. If we come into Christ saying, God, I want all you have for me. But our hands are full of stuff. And backpacks on and carrier bags of stuff. Some more than others. But God, I want all you have for me. But how can we receive what God's got for us when we've got all this stuff and we need to just put some stuff down? And that can be anything. Material stuff. You know, we need to put it down. Our possessions. You know, our wealth. But it can be our past. And it can be our hurts. And it can be our, you know, our sickness. It can be so many different things. Different for everybody, maybe. But to receive from God, we must become empty. And we must put something to death that is of this world. I dread to think I'm missing out on what God's got for me because I find something of this world so precious I can't put it down. And I pray continually, Psalm 139, search my heart, God, and know my heart, know my ways. Reveal it to me, Lord God, so I can put it to death and I can receive from you what it is you've got for me. Because what we put to death is pales into comparison to what compared to what God wants to give us. It just does, but it seems like such a big sacrifice maybe. But what God, and God has shown me that, and sometimes I don't know why we find it hard to trust him, because that is always his character. He never lets us down. No, we don't want to give away some of these things we hold on to because we identify with them. Jim might have mentioned that a few weeks ago when he was talking. Someone did. Some of the songs we were praying about there, singing there, is, you know, we need to come to God broken. Not pray that. Someone prayed that. We sung it. Needy and dependent. It's where we are self-reliant is when, you know, I don't want to be reliant on myself for anything. I want to be reliant on God for everything. Yeah. Mark 8 says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Deny yourself. But what we lose in exchange for what God gives us is immeasurable. Our pride, our dignity, and fear of man. I hate that one. Fear of man. What people might say, what people are thinking, what people might do. The fear of man. Yes. Who cares? I'm sick of that. I'm sick of not receiving what God might have for me because I'm so worried what other people might think, say, or do. What we gain is God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Okay. I just want to pray then. Can we stand? And maybe at the end, if you want, if there's anything that I've said that you want prayer for, I don't know if we're going to have a time of worship, then come and get prayer for it. If there's something you know in your life you need cutting off, if there's voices in your head that are whispering that you need cutting off, we need to do that. We need the discernment. We need to pray for discernment. Lord Jesus, give us that. Your gift. There's a gift of discernment. You've given it to us. Lord, Holy Spirit, We just invite your presence.
Yeah.
We need your presence. Mm-hmm. We need you, Lord. We've only got so much we can give. We've only got so much love. And it's just useless without you. Mm-hmm. Lord Jesus, we just stand and we just say, Holy Spirit, come. Mm-hmm. Reveal to us in our hearts the things that hold us back from you. Reveal to us in our minds, Lord Jesus, what is not of you and where the enemy wants to take a foothold. Reveal to us in Lord God, those things that want to pin us down. Lord God, like those suicidal thoughts which are not of you, which say, drive into the front of that car or drive into that ditch, throw yourself off that balcony, whatever. That is demonic. That is not of you. And they're the obvious ones, Lord God. Reveal to us the subtle ones where the devil wants to say, they don't like you. You're not worthy. You know, Lord God, reveal to us that they are not our thoughts, but they're the demon. They are demons, Lord. And we just pray against them. Holy Spirit, come. Cut them off in your name, Jesus. Let us be free to live our lives in fullness. That you've promised us your best, life of abundance, life from your throne, from the throne you've placed us on. Lord God, that we will see our lives from that heavenly perspective. God has a life of abundance for us. Let me just finish with Hebrews 12. Let us throw everything off that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run this race with perseverance. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith.